Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Beatrice Fairbanks Kayser comes from an illustrious family. Her two ancestors, who came to Upper Virginia on the Mayflower in 1620, helped found their community. Beatrice founded the Kayser Museum for Children in England, where she was the wife of Stanley Kayser, a grandson of Sir Charles Kayser, founder of shipping companies that evolved into Caledonia Investments, and nephew of Admiral Lord Jellicoe, the second Governor General of New Zealand. Then she turned to writing novels. In Oxford Fire, she wrote The Princes and the Princesses of Wales. In Guernsey, she wrote The Royal World of Animals. Returning to the U.S., she wrote 9 Rick Harrow novels, winning Book of the Year Award from the Horse Racing Writers Association. In 2016, she had a sellout with The Secret Diary of Mrs. John Quincy Adams. And in 2018, had another sellout with The New Tales of Palm Beach. And on today's This Week in America, we feature Beatrice's highly acclaimed Kennedys in Love, her tasty novel based on the powerful Kennedy clan and the assassination of JFK. Renowned author Beatrice Fairbanks Kayser, our special guest on This Week in America. Beatrice, welcome to the program.
How do you do? Lovely to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
It is such a fascinating life that you've had in two aspects, just the family history we could talk about for several hours alone, and the success as a published author. Let's just start by talking about this book, Kennedys in Love. Give me a little background on this. Where was the fascination with the Kennedys? What drew you into developing the storyline?
Well, the first time I was ever at a boarding school, I went to Marymount in Tarrytown, and Rosemary Kennedy had been sort of, well, dumped there while her parents were in England, and her father was the United States Ambassador to the Court of St. James. But they didn't want her there because, while I do not agree that she was mentally retarded, because I was in the same corridor with her and saw her early in the morning and late at night, and she never failed to brush her own teeth and comb her own hair, she was really all right. I won't say that she would get a scholarship to Vassar, but she was a very, very nice person and in control of her own toilette and as sweet as she could be. That's when I became interested in the Kennedys, and I was very young. I was 9 or 10 years old. My parents had gone to, I think it was Egypt for something. My father was supposed to straighten out their economy there, which I hope he did. And I was there, becoming very interested in Rosemary Kennedy. So I followed her all her life when they tried to strip her away, and I was so glad when she escaped from some place where they locked her up. I was hoping, look, just take a job as a waitress or somewhere or anything, but don't let yourself be caught. But unfortunately, she was caught. And she actually struck her mother at one point and said, how could you do this to me? Well, they were very hard. They didn't want to be embarrassed by somebody who was slightly different from other people or something. And this girl was shut away. And I didn't agree with it. But anyway, I followed Jack Kennedy's love affairs because he was well known in Palm Beach as to be quite a boy.
Yes.
And well, he had a big love affair with one of the more well-known and social ladies here. I used to see her at the cafeteria of the Bath and Tennis Club having her meals, and she was a great love of Jack Kennedy's for some time. But, you know, these great loves of Jack Kennedy, sorry as I say it, as I've made a study of it all his life, did not last, because his first great love was a girl from Scandinavia called Inga. And Inga was a fascinating, very intelligent girl who had actually had lunch twice with Adolf Hitler when she came down from her native country.
Yes.
And she was a big success in London. She was a big success in Washington, partially because she was so exquisitely beautiful. And, of course, Jack Kennedy's younger sister thought they'd make a great couple, so she introduced the two. And, of course, he did fall in love with Inga. And when he was in the Pacific and wounded and all that, he wrote her an enormous amount of letters, no question about it. And when he got back from his long tour, when he still had shakes from malaria and one thing and the other, very bad condition, really, his own physical problems surmounting the others, she was there, and they did have a reunion, and they, sexually, they were probably very well suited. But whatever happened, Joe Kennedy went for this girl. That's Papa Joe, the former ambassador to Britain. And he wasn't going to let any divorcee, because she'd already been married twice, and with not a very good reputation, be aligned to his wonderful son, for whom he wanted the presidency.
Yes.
And which cost his son his life. He wouldn't have been assassinated if he hadn't been president of the United States. And you know, the old man had had a stroke when this happened, but he knew that. And my God, it must have gone to his conscience. Have you any questions you'd like to ask me about Kennedy's in Love? Because it's a very brilliant book, I think. I knew him. I cared about what happened to him. I not only cared about Jack Kennedy, but I give you some wonderful stories about some of his sisters, particularly his sister who had married a nobleman in England, the eldest son of the Duke of Devonshire, and that's a very big deal. Don't forget the parents had been the father of United States ambassador to Court of St. James, and the wife, very, very popular in society. So this was all very well for the other members of the family, and it meant that one daughter did become, well, very much in love with this eldest son of them, one of the most powerful dukes in England, Duke of Devonshire. And they, after a courtship of 5 years, they finally had 3 happy weeks together when he was sent abroad with his regiment and killed as he went to a French farmhouse that was completely taken over by Nazi soldiers, and killed when he reached the door.
So many great stories that you have. This is a slice of history. I'm fascinated. And go ahead with those. I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's so fascinating.
Terrific.
Someone that has firsthand knowledge, and all of a sudden you're bringing history to life. We remember some of these stories are innuendos, but you lay it all out for us.
No, they're fact. I assure you they're fact. And I think sometimes, and I've written 26 books, that the best I ever wrote in my life was when I wrote about a young man from Boston who had been invited to spend a holiday or a few weekends maybe at a very great estate, and who was there also but Jack and this lady that he was in love with. And he was also there with one of the sisters, and he wanted to get down on the bare boards of the floor and kiss where she'd walked. That's how much he was in love with her.
Wow.
I mean, he'd pick up a book that she'd held and just try to catch the scent of her hand that had held that book. I mean, he was very, very much in love with her. And of course, she was the one who took off with her lover, Lord Fitzwilliam, to take a private plane to the south of France. The plane went into the French mountains, crashed, and they were both killed. And that was very terrible for the Kennedy family. That was a very special, adorable toast of London society, daughter of the ambassador.
Ambassador,
Kennedy.
Yes.
Yeah, and she ended up in little pieces. And her father gets to the broken plane and actually sees the plane in the valley where it had fallen, where the wings were off, and he had her body recouped, and he got her suitcase, and he opened it, and all there was in the suitcase were 2 nightgowns, very beautiful ones, and a douchebag. It just about broke his heart. I mean, a terrible story. And that is in the book. I think that's a big one. I do.
Well, yeah, I do too. And the book is Kennedy's in Love. It's written by our guest on the program, Beatrice Fairbanks Kayzer. That's Kayzer. Book available wherever books are sold, and we'll give you all that information as we go through the program. just one of a number of books written by our guest on the program, and that's the background for that. What are you working on a book now? Everybody waits for these books to come out, and they sell out. They receive rave reviews. Are you working on something now?
Yes, I am, but I think it'll interest mostly people in Florida because there's so much Palm Beach in it. But I wrote The Secret Diary of Mrs. John Quincy Adams. I wrote Vampire Murders in Morocco. I wrote Murder for Beauty, which is a mystery story. I wrote The Harrow Quartet, which has four mystery stories, and you get a lot for your money there.
Oh, yes.
And I have also written The Happy Harrow Murder Trilogy, of which you get three for your money. But my most recent book, and I really wish you would mention it, is Kidnapped in Jerusalem. That is my latest book, and it really is a most astounding book because right now I was astounded to see that our United States president actually has gone to the Saudi Arabians and tried to woo them.
I saw that terrible
human rights record because we need their oil. But if you would read this book, Kidnapped in Jerusalem, you would understand, or if readers would, a lot more about that kind of a country and how cruel they are and whether they have the oil or not. It's not a place to laud, L-A-U-D, believe me. But anyway, in this book, Kidnapped in Jerusalem, you understand a lot of those Mid-Eastern countries because they go to several of them. And it's fascinating how different their civilization is to ours. I mean, first of all, we are a Christian Judea society here in America. We don't really understand the Muslim way of treating women. And
yes.
All their laws are so different. But if you read this book, it helps you to understand how different things are over there and how we do have to understand them and not just realize that they've got oil we can buy. What would you like to ask me, sir?
Well, you know, that's interesting because we get a glimpse of life over there, and at the same time, we get an entertaining story that goes with it, and we learn something and we're entertained at the same time. That book that Beatrice was talking about is Kidnapped in Jerusalem, and you'll find all these books at Amazon. Is your website, should they go to the website and find information on the book there as well?
If they like. But I'm delighted to talk to you about it. I have so much interest in this book, Kidnapped in Jerusalem. I don't want to shock you, but I've always wondered about the mistake that people make when they hear that a man has had affairs with other men, perhaps in his life, in his youth, before he was in high school or in college. And all of it is not true. And he's a perfectly normal man, and yet he has this gossip about him as he goes through life and society. And that's a big story in Kidnapped in Jerusalem, because this man is a normal man, and yet he has this reputation following him all his life because of a small mistake made while he was living as an orphan. Quite interesting how you can have your reputation ruined.
Yes.
That's a subject that doesn't come up much, by your gossip that is totally untrue and not based on fact. But that is what pursues and plagues this man throughout the book.
And you'll find that in Kidnapped in Jerusalem. Our guest is Beatrice Fairbanks-Kaiser. That's C-A-Y-Z-E-R. All of the books you'll find, you go to Amazon, the usual places to get information, and I'll give you that. And Beatrice's website is as we go through the program. How much fun is that as an author when you can get into a story that you really want to tell? You enjoy the research, you enjoy the writing, you enjoy the interviews, the publicity on the book. How much fun is that when you have a book like this that obviously means so much to you, very passionate about this book?
I am passionate about it, and I care, and I wish other people would give a chance not to criticize or take as fact gossip. That is the real kernel in the book. I hate gossip that destroys somebody's life, which is totally based on lies and misinformation. That is something that I probably will write another book about because I care so tremendously about it.
It's amazing how a story like that takes on a life of its own, doesn't it? And sometimes the more you talk about it and refute it, the more the story spreads.
Unfortunately, you have stated it so clearly and so truly. Of course not. The more you talk, the more it gets going and the more it hurts the person.
And here we're in an era of the keyboard with social media where everybody can sit and has an opinion and states it whether it's true or not. It's just such an interesting time. And again, that story unfolds in Beatrice's new book, Kidnapped in Jerusalem. And I hope you do another story on that. It would be fascinating reading. You live in the Palm Beach area. The One Book New Tales of Palm Beach, you say that may be of interest if you live in that area. I think Palm Beach has this fascination, this aura all around the country. What was it like writing that story, New Tales of Palm Beach?
Well, I was interested to put Mr. Trump in the far top left with his son, by his present wife, whom he loves very tenderly and is now quite grown up as a teenager and going to a very good school. But it is fascinating because apparently when you think this is a small town, and yet we've had so many presidents come out of it.
Yes.
I mean, certainly John Kennedy, he was a real Palm Beach boy, no two ways about it. In the summer up in Massachusetts, but in the winter in Florida. And, oh, my goodness, his big loves he had here. And the stories, I love the story about how he laid down on the sidewalk in Miami and used a lady's borrowed douchebag to siphon out enough gas from somebody's car, some stranger's car, into a car so they could drive to Palm Beach and he could see a lady he was in love with. And that's a true story.
That's just
told to me by the lady whose husband was the other person in the car after they siphoned out the gas.
What a fascinating story. Beatrice Fairbanks Kayzer is our guest on the program, C-A-Y-Z-E-R. Boy, the time has gone by quickly. A few minutes left in the program. I'd like to just sort of get your perspective. A world traveler, you've got such a fascinating glimpse of the world, the world perspective through your travels, through your writing. If you were to write a book trying to, well, let's say, save the world, get the word out there using your talents as a writer, how would you do that?
Well, I think I would show how beautiful, interesting, and honest some of the countries are, some that border the Mediterranean, some that border, for instance, South Africa is a very honest, good country and has both the Atlantic and the Pacific. I mean, it's a very fascinating world that we live in. There's so many good countries that we could bring up stories from, and I certainly hope to. I have already. I have the privilege that my daughter, whom I love very dearly, Eugenia, she lives in France, in the south of France, permanently with her English husband. And so I have a sort of a connection there, although I lived there many years myself. I never was a resident, which she is. But I love also Africa. I'm always fascinated, not just North Africa, which I've written two books about, Morocco and Egypt, because I love both of those countries and have spent considerable time in both of them. But I love South Africa, which is so English, and, well, it's, they speak English and they have a lot of English customs there, but it's certainly not very African. I love those countries so much, but I would like to know more about Asia. I've only been in the part of Asia that belongs to Turkey. I've never been to the far, far east of Asia. And what a fascinating, incredible place that is. I'd like to make friends with the Chinese. I'd like to know more about the Japanese that I was brought up to hate because when I was a little girl, we were at war with Japan.
Oh, yes, yes.
But now we all love Japan. And it just shows you how the world can change. And the countries that we have are brought up to hate, as I was brought up to hate, no, we love them. We love to go there. We love to buy their products. We like to help them. That could help all over the world. The countries we hate now, we could love. Unfortunately, we used to love China. We used to love Chinese goods, Chinese porcelain, Chinese architecture. We had so many things about China we admired in America. So I have hopes that we'll get back to that someday without war and without distressing families that you mothers lose sons, wives lose husbands, to end some impossible to win war. You know, I was born a Quaker and brought up a Quaker. I hate war. And I think it's so much better if we can avoid it by having treaties and negotiating, as we're trying to negotiate right now with Russia about the problems that they're having in Poland and trying to get people to not go there, and that they can take over a slice of the world and let the people stay there and not escape Romania or Poland. I cannot talk about those things. I'm a private citizen. But, I do hope the war does not escalate and we have a wider war with more people dying and more mothers losing sons and wives, husbands.
It's so tragic
when you see that happen. Can you ask me another question?
Well, we've got a couple minutes left, and let me ask you about where you think we are now as a country. You have seen so much, and you see maybe where we're headed. You mentioned your daughter, I'm sure, family members, grandchildren as well. What are we leaving for them, do you think?
I'm very optimistic. There are many good people in this country. They don't get the publicity. They don't get in their picture on the front cover of Time and that sort of thing. There are many good people. People who go to church, who go to synagogue, go to the Muslims' church. It doesn't matter. There are people who still love God, and don't forget our country was under God. Even on a nickel it says, "In God we trust."
Yes.
This is a wonderful country. It's been the country to follow for little ex-colonial areas. When they get their independence, they want to be like America. They want to have a constitution like the American Constitution. And we've been the light of the world. And I believe that we will continue to be so. The few blights, the bad people, this horrible thing that they kill children in schools in this country. You don't see it happening in France. You don't see it happening in England, even in Italy with the fiery tempers those people have. It doesn't happen there. That is the only blight I see at present. We used to have the gangster problem. Now we have the killing children in school problem. I mean, terrible. But this country is very great, and it will surmount this current difficulty. There will be great leaders, and they will stop this happening anymore.
Well, I love your way it takes. I love the optimism, and we need that, because so often it's very easy to get caught up in the negative, and you're thinking, are we ever going to get out of this spiral? And you've seen so much in the ups and downs worldwide. It's nice to hear that you do have some optimism. Well, the time has gone by so quickly. I hope that we can do this again. The book we started on, Kennedy's in Love, that's available, of course, wherever books are sold. The book Kidnapped in Jerusalem, now available, along with all of Barbara Beatrice's books, Beatrice Fairbanks Kayser, that's Kayzer. The book available at Amazon. Beatrice's website is BeatriceKayzer.com. Books available there. All this on our website, by the way, thisweekinamerica.us. Just go click and all the books will come up and you can find out more about Beatrice and this fascinating life and the heritage, where she came from, and all of the excellent award-winning books, best-selling books in her career. Beatrice, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Love to do this again. Thank you for spending some time with us.
It's been a joy and a privilege. Thank you, and please do have me again. I would love to do that.
We have so many more stories to tell, and I would love to help you tell them, so we'll have to arrange that. Beatrice Fairbanks Kayser, our guest on the program. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.